The book of Hebrews tells us, "But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able, once and forever, to save those who come to God through him." Is salvation a one-time gift that will truly last forever? Can sin ever come between us and God once we've accepted Christ as our Savior? These are complicated questions with a biblical answer. Coming up on Principles for Living, author and Bible teacher Bill Zechman examines the controversial question, can a Christian ever lose his salvation? Principles for Living is a Southern Baptist teaching and evangelism ministry. Our mission is to help Christians by sharing God's principles in Scripture and also to encourage others to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Join us for the next half hour as we teach Principles for Living. And welcome to our broadcast. Thanks for making us a part of your day today. Before we begin, we'd like to offer you our free booklet called The Truth About Giving. Inside, Bill shares with us the importance of charity, generosity, and having the right motives behind them. You can request the booklet on our website, absolutely free, at principlesforliving.org, or call us at 888-881-3411. That's 888-881-3411. Is it possible for a Christian to fall away from salvation? It's a question that theologians have wrestled with for centuries. Today, we take a look at what makes this such a difficult topic and look to the Bible for an answer. Let's listen.
Salvation is a term, along with the term born again, which causes some people to doubt and question. What is salvation? What does it mean to be born again? What do these things have to do with eternal life? Can something eternal ever not be eternal? In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." In the Bible, Jesus said many times that he was the way to the Father. What does this mean? Why is getting to the Father important? Notice, Jesus didn't say he was the way to heaven. He said he was the way. But then he said, "No one comes to the Father but by me." Jesus was talking about getting to the Father. But then he went one step further and said, "If you really know me, you will know the Father." He finishes by saying, "From now on, you do know him and have seen him." The disciples were meeting the Father through the Son. So when Jesus was saying he was the way, he knew that included the way to heaven. But he was being specific here in saying he was the way to the Father, or better yet, to knowing the Father. By knowing Jesus, we can know the Father. That means Jesus was bringing God to us, as well as taking us to God. He was the way. He was the way to the Father. He was the way to knowing the Father. And he was the way to possessing the life that the Father had, eternal life. So when we talk about being saved, what are we saved from? The Bible says we are saved from God's righteous wrath. In Romans 5:9, we see the statement, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" And when we talk about being born again, we are really talking about taking on the eternal aspects of God's life. God is eternal. If we possess his life, we can't help but to have eternal life. In John 3:3, we see where Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." So what is this rebirth? It is the spiritual birth of a Christian. It is when we are birthed by God. In John 3, verses 5 and 6, Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of the water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. This is obviously talking about two kinds of birth. The water birth is natural, when a mother gives birth physically to her child. This birth gets us into the human race. The spiritual birth is spiritual and gets us into God's family. The big question I want to deal with here is, are we secured eternally when we're born of God? Can we lose our salvation? This is a very controversial subject. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." That means we are born again. We have more than a changed life. We're actually brand new people. Once when I was teaching a group in Liberia on this subject, I was able to really see how much controversy there is on this topic. The conflict became heated, and people began to get upset. Instead of speaking on the same subject the next day, I decided to moderate a forum and have six people from the crowd debate each other while others listened. With three on each side, they represented their questions and defenses to each other. At one time, those for eternal security were trapped by those that were against it. There was a question they couldn't answer. I remember very vividly what happened next. I told them that I could answer the question. Those against eternal security said they didn't want my answer. They wanted the other side to answer the question. This clearly showed me that they were more interested in being right than they were in having the answer to the question. How sad that was to see. How often are we like that ourselves? We've believed something so long that we refuse to allow an opinion that doesn't make any sense to us. If we oppose it, we don't even consider it as something we're spending any thought on. We're going to look at why I believe eternal security is the absolute truth, without any doubt whatsoever. In Proverbs 14:12 it says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death." This scripture supports the very reason people resist eternal security. There's a way that seems right. Which way? It's works-based salvation. Most of the world believes that if we want to please God, we will have to be a good person. But what does Jesus say? In John chapter 6, verses 26 and 27, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs that I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Jesus said not to work for food that spoils. There are so many people that still think good works have saving power. But Jesus went on to tell us what works were necessary for salvation. In John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, it says, "Then they asked him, 'What must we do to do the works that God requires?' Jesus answered, 'The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent.'" These words of Jesus are very powerful. The work of God is to believe. This is the only work that can save us, belief. And it doesn't mean to believe historically in our heads, but that we trust Jesus with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul. History is rational, but trusting is dependent. So what is it that drives people to believe they can lose their salvation? It's the belief that works are associated with earning one's salvation. But the Bible tells us something very different. In Romans 11, verses 5 and 6, it says, "So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. If we aren't saved by works, but by grace, how can we lose our salvation by falling into sin? Where is mercy? Where is forgiveness? Where is God's pardon? Is it only temporal? Do we possess eternal life? Or are we on probation once we get saved? You see, if we believe we can lose our salvation, we are buying into a system that says if we don't behave, we will be condemned. But we've already seen that our salvation is never based on good works, whether before or after we're born again. It's important to realize that heaven is the destination of God's children. Just like children live with their parents here on earth, we will live with our parent, God the Father. Heaven is not a reward, but a home as God's children.
You're listening to Principles for Living with Bill Zechman. Principles for Living is a ministry striving to help Christians grow in both knowledge and faith. We'd like to offer you our free booklet called The Truth About Giving. It's all about generosity and what God cares most about when you give to others, your heart. You can request the booklet on our website, absolutely free, at principlesforliving.org, or call us at 888-881-3411. That's 888-881-3411. And now, back to today's program called Secured for Eternity, where we're examining the question, can you lose your salvation?
Are we secured eternally when we're born of God? Can we lose our salvation? If we aren't saved by works, but by grace, how can we lose our salvation by falling into sin? Where is mercy? Where is forgiveness? Where is God's pardon? Is it only temporal? Do we possess eternal life? Or are we on probation once we get saved? You see, if we believe we can lose our salvation, we are buying into a system that says if we don't behave, we will be condemned. But we've already seen that our salvation is never based on good works. It's important to realize that heaven is the destination of God's children. Just like children live with their parents here on earth, we will live with our parent, God the Father. Heaven is not a reward, but a home as God's children. Just like we can't undo our human birth, we can't undo our spiritual birth. Once a child of God, always a child of God. Our works have nothing to do with gaining or retaining salvation, but they have everything to do with rewards that we will receive from God. In 1 Corinthians 3:10 it says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." This scripture talks about what can survive fire. That is gold, silver, and costly stones. Wood, hay, and straw will burn. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. This is about rewards for believers, not salvation. It actually tells us of a person whose works has no value. Thus, there was no reward. But the person was still saved and went to heaven. It says the person barely escaped the flames. But they did escape. If their works could affect their salvation, why would they still escape the flames in spite of their works? Salvation is eternal, eternal life. In Hebrews 5, verses 7 through 9, it says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, He learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Jesus earned us eternal salvation. He didn't earn us temporal salvation. In John 5:24, it says, "Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." So once we cross over from life to death, we've crossed over. It is done. We have life. It's eternal. Until we cross over, there is only death reigning in us. Listen, here's the big deal of all of this. We can't get back to death even if we tried. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Why does the Bible say this? It's because even if we deny him after we're born again, he will not and cannot deny us because we're part of him in the body of Christ, the body that we all make up. He contains us. And for him to disown us, he would have to disown himself. Another thing of great importance in the scripture is in Philippians 4:7, where it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This scripture talks about a peace beyond all understanding. The New King James Version uses the word "surpasses all understanding." It's a peace beyond our wildest dreams. Only an eternal life that can't be lost could give us this kind of peace. If I can lose my salvation, the peace is gone, because now the peace is dependent on me keeping my act together. If so, every time we sin, we're going to be worried about losing our salvation. Many think we can regain that salvation by asking for forgiveness every time we sin. So would that mean we lose our salvation every time we sin and gain it back again every time we're sorry or that we say we're sorry? That's absurd and is the religion of works. God has secured me. I can't secure myself. God has given birth to me spiritually. If I'm born again, I cannot undo that birth. In Ephesians 4:30 it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." We are sealed. It is until we are redeemed from here. It isn't only till we mess up again. In Hebrews 9:22 it says, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." If there isn't any forgiveness without the shedding of blood, then there can't be any salvation except through the finished work of Christ in shedding his blood on the cross. In John 19:30 we read, "When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." So what was finished? The commitment Jesus had made to be a sacrifice for us. It was finished. It means there's no more work to be done. It means Jesus has opened a door that cannot be closed by Satan or us. It means that he's secured us. It's done. The contract is signed by his blood and sealed by the Holy Spirit and delivered to us by Jesus Christ himself. This is good news. Don't believe a gospel that tells you anything different. If I want a doctrine of good works, I can get that from any other religion in the world. Good works is really the reforming of oneself, but reformation of myself still leaves me filthy. Look at what it says in Isaiah 64:6. "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We're shriveled up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." Here we clearly see our righteous acts are worth nothing as far as salvation is concerned. In the Old Testament, there was a continual need for sacrifices. Why was that? The sacrifice was incapable of creating an eternal fix that would remove our sins from us once and for all. Why does what Jesus did cleanse us eternally? What he did was to secure a righteousness that we were incapable of securing. He lived a perfect life. That perfect life has been imputed to us, and our sins have been imputed to Jesus. It's finished once we're born again. Some people get confused by scriptures that seem to say we can lose our salvation. I can go through all of them and tell you why they cannot mean you can lose your salvation, but you might still not believe it. There is a saying that says, if a man wants to believe a lie, no amount of truth will persuade him of anything else. Would you rather insist on a lie or believe the truth? The doctrine of good works is something men want to believe in. It seems right. But listen to what Jesus said in Luke 18, verses 18 and 19. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good teacher?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." If we aren't good, why do we keep thinking we can be good enough to keep ourselves saved? It's impossible. Jesus secures us, not we ourselves. Think about what Jesus gives us. He gives us what only he has. He has eternal life. Jesus cannot have anything but eternal, everlasting life. Why is that? It's because he is eternal. He has always been and will always be eternal. So when he gives us eternal life, it can't be lost. It's ours to keep and to cherish. The belief that we can lose our salvation makes us unaware of the greatness of his gift. If we don't have eternal life, but only temporal life, then we're still living under the curse of Adam's sin. That means we're still living in death. It means we haven't been regenerated. In Hebrews 6, there is a text that is misinterpreted by those who say we can lose our salvation. I would like to close with this. The Bible says we should study to show ourselves approved unto God. That means we must diligently study all sides of this issue if we want to truly understand it. We will have to study it with an open mind that isn't biased to one side or the other. I have done that and have been blessed immensely with the understanding that I now have. That understanding includes a peace that is beyond imagination and is incomprehensible. There is true security in Christ Jesus. It's eternal, and there isn't any way to eliminate something that is eternal. May God be glorified today, tomorrow, and forever.
You've been listening to author and Bible teacher Bill Zechman here on Principles for Living. Thanks again for spending time with us. Our program today is titled Secured for Eternity. We hope it's encouraged you to grow in your daily walk with Christ. Principles for Living would like to send you even more teaching through our free booklet called The Truth About Giving. Packed with biblical references and Bill's sharp insights, you'll find biblical answers to all your questions about charity, tithing, and wealth. It's our free gift this month. Just request it when you call. You can call our toll-free number at 888-881-3411. That's 888-881-3411. Our mailing address is Principles for Living, P.O. Box 1097, Norfolk, Nebraska, 68702. Again, that's P.O. Box 1097, Norfolk, Nebraska, 68702. You can request the free booklet, The Truth About Giving, by sending us an email. Our email address is info@principlesforliving.org. You can also request the booklet at our website, principlesforliving.org. That's principlesforliving.org. Principles for Living is a listener-supported nonprofit ministry. We rely on your prayers and financial support to continue to reach people for Christ. If you've been personally blessed by Bill Zechman's teachings, please consider sowing back into this work. You can make a tax-deductible gift of any amount at principlesforliving.org. That's principlesforliving.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Join us next time, along with our host and Bible teacher, Bill Zechman, as we share truths for today, tomorrow, and forever, right here on Principles for Living.